I have two action items, Mr. Vinko. The first one being the resolution regarding the EDVRS report made this evening, as well as an action item, SU-002, regarding the memorandum of agreement between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Police Department. I'll be meeting with Director Manny next week to go over the memorandum of agreement. We have, in our preliminary talks, I've seen no difference from one year to the next. Basically, it is an understanding between both entities on how we will communicate information to one another and keep each other apprised of any situation that the other organization should know about. This comes from the state and the prosecutor's office to ensure that we have this system of communication.
We have somebody make that motion for 001 and 002.
So moved.
So moved by Jody, seconded by Don. Any questions on either one of those two motions? 001 and 002. Seeing none, we can have a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yep.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Levin?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkhoff?
Yes.
Motions carry 8-0.
Thank you. Moving on to the report of the School Business Administrator Board Secretary.
I'd just like to call everyone's attention to the two pieces of correspondence. The first is that we've received permission to purchase our fuel through the county. And the second is the resignation letter from Board Member Debbie Weiss. President Jim Dinkhoff has requested that I read it aloud. Dear Kevin, Pat, Jim, and all my fellow board members, unfortunately, I am writing to let you know that I must resign from the Clinton Township Board of Education, effective immediately. Recent personal developments now require all of my attention and focus, and I don't think it is fair to remain on the board and not be able to give board matters the attention they deserve. It's been a very tough decision, but one that is best for both my family and the Clinton Township Board of Education. I've enjoyed my time serving on the board immensely and feel fortunate to have been able to work with all of you. You're a wonderful group of individuals who have the children of Clinton Township's best interests at heart. Keep up all the good work. It's been a pleasure. Debbie Weiss.
Thank you, Beth.
Moving on to the informational items, the next board meeting is November 22nd. As previously discussed, the cutoff for interest in the board letters of interest is the 15th, and then the 22nd, there will be a closed session at 6:30 prior to the meeting at 7:30 to interview candidates, with the thought being that the seat will be filled that evening on the 22nd.
We have a number of resolutions, starting with 010, which is the approval of the regular minutes from the September Board of Education meeting, all the way through to 017. If I may have a motion to approve those action items.
So moved.
So moved by Donna, seconded by Mark. Any discussion on items 010 through 017? Great.
Just not on the items, but back up on the informational section. How have we advertised the board opening? Do we have something in the paper?
It is all over the place. It's been in at least three newspapers. Okay. It's a huge notice on the Board of Ed page. Huge.
It's also on our front page.
Okay, but we do have something out in the newspaper, too?
Absolutely.
Will there be something in the Clinton Township newsletter that comes out at the beginning of November?
The timing wasn't right.
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
No?
Came in after.
Okay. But it'll be in the 100 Democrat. Right,
yes.
Paris? Thank you. Okay, any other questions on any of those action items? Seeing none, we may have a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Levin?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Abstain on 10 and 11, yes on the rest.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkhoff?
Yes.
All motions are approved.
Thank you. Moving on, do we have any old business that needs to be brought before the Board of Education? Any old business? Seeing none, we'll move on to the first public comment on agenda items only. Anybody from the public that would like to address the Board of Education on agenda items only? We'll have a second public comment session later in the meeting. Please state your name and address, and if at all possible, try to limit your questions and or comments to 3 minutes.
I will follow my notes as quickly as possible. This falls under the suspension reports and the violence resolution that's at the beginning here. My son was one of the children that was out of school for 2 days for suspension. And you were mentioning the way you have to approach the board. I have gone through appropriate measures with principals and other schools in regards to this, so now I'm bringing it to you. It's in regards to bullying in Clinton Township, and I want to make sure they understand it's not an attack on anyone here, and I'm not pointing any fingers or any names. I'm strictly here to voice a concern of mine, and I'm trying to be constructive as positive as I can, but I am frustrated. This is involving an incident that happened at the middle school dance. My son noticed another child approach his friend who has been in the past aggressive towards him. He went to intervene and brought his friend to the gymnasium. The only staff that was there were the ticketing staff, so they didn't work. They were busy doing that. The child followed them to the gymnasium, threw basketballs at my son and his friends, pushed them around, and the child pushed Jared to the point where a button was pulled off his shirt. Chaperones were present at that time. My son and his friends proceeded to the dance, but after a period of time, went back to the gymnasium. The child that was causing these problems had to be exiting the gymnasium and lunged at my son and his friend. My son punched the child, and my son's friend kicked him. My son and his friends were taken to the office to await parent pickup and discipline. The child who was hit is hidden in the back room, and my son and his friend sat in front of all the windows to be stared at by all his peers. When I picked my son up in the front office, I expressed to the principal that Jeremy has had bullying issues in the past. Jeremy has gone through the process that the school requires regarding bullying. There is documentation to prove that. My husband and I finally expressed to Jeremy that if the school is not addressing the issue and you are in a situation where you need to defend yourself, that we would back him. My son finally retaliated physically because he had had enough. I am proud of his bravery and his strength. In regards to discipline, Jeremy and his friend were disciplined with out of school suspension for 2 days. Because there's confidentiality with other students, I am not made aware of the other child's punishment. But through investigation, I was told that the child was in school. My child was out. The child was laughing upon the term, saying, "Ha ha, Jeremy's not in school and I am." It is my opinion that the policy set forth protect the bullies more than the assist these students. A bully knows that the policy prohibits physical retaliation. Therefore, they feel protected when they bully another student. They know physical harm would not come to them. Does this scenario sound satisfactory to you? Does it bother you that the child causing the problems remained in school? My son is not perfect. The stories will be overblown. But the situation was a failure as far as working on the bully issue. When I drop my son off at a school function, I expect him to be protected on school property. I realize he also has to show responsibility, but he's under your supervision. I consider it a failure. In the past, June 2009, there was a Board of Education meeting in regards to a male and female student on the bus. One mother spoke during the first public comment about her son had been verbally abused, and she mentioned that he was receiving therapy and was fearful for his well-being. The second speaker thanked the board for considering provisions to the policy for those who make false accusations, stressing that they can be very damaging. Then I spoke, pushing the board to get video cameras on the bus, and had done research with Tewksbury and their camera system. I forwarded safety grant links to request aid for safety, because as a citizen, I can't request a grant. The school board has to. Your game plan had discussions of talking with the bus driver. The wait time in the middle school around Valley when buses arrived at school were lengthy, and you would minimize that wait time. And you said you would suggest changing some bus routes. You would also have an annual meeting with the bus driver, and then you would look into video cameras, but later on it was discovered that it was too much money. You are reviewing policies and regulations that were being developed. By the beginning of that school year, you would have summaries of these policies. It would provide key policies for teachers to review with students. Children at Round Valley Middle School would sign paperwork indicating that they were informed. Teachers will have training and self-awareness on sexual harassment in students with age-appropriate teachings. The teacher would also be educated on how perceptions can sometimes be wrong. Apparently, there's a speaker that comes in occasionally. Other school systems that come in here, that's a great resource. I'm also aware of the bucket list program. I'm not exactly sure what happened in this violence week. I wasn't aware of any activities, but I know that goes towards it. And I applaud all those actions, and I appreciate all your hard work into the bullying issue, but it's not working. It happens under the teacher's noses. Children are afraid to follow your policies of telling the appropriate person, because after a while, it's obvious who's telling. My son stopped telling me. He said it caused more trouble than good. The only suggestion I have, because clearly there isn't a simple answer, if there was, he'd be a millionaire. I could offer maybe a suggestion of an anonymous hotline for students to call in and report the activities that they see, and also maybe a report system to a student who helps solve a bullying issue. Also, briefly, there was the New Jersey lawmaker introduced an anti-bullying bill of rights. I'm sure I just read it on NJ.com. It acknowledges that past anti-bullying laws fail to provide enough protection for kids, and this pretty much stems from the Rutgers University suicide. I have hopes that it's a little far-reaching, the bill, but I hope it will help. I don't know if there's liability to the school who has knowledge of a bully and did not properly address it, but you can look in any magazine. I read everything that happened to these children and they killed themselves. Harden County is not immune. Clinton Township is not immune. And if this happens to Clinton Township, it's going to hit us like a ton of bricks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Switlick. Unfortunately, that was not brought to my attention as far as your concern at the administrative level. And as I applaud you for really being the advocate for your child coming here and speaking to the board, I would like to follow up with you as well regarding the statements you made. It really comes down to everything we were talking about, the administrative team, the staff, really comes down to the sense of culture. And that's where responsive classroom, the bucket filling, hand in hand, everyone can. Those are the ideas where you build that sense of culture where children will feel not only protected, but a sense that they can step up for one another. And a big part of the information that we bring in is what you make mention of. But if you have a child, like you're saying your son is, where they feel that they've tried that and feel that they have not been able to communicate, we're failing them. So I will follow up you and I will follow up with our staff.
Any other comments from the public on agenda items only? There is another section, another public forum later in the meeting where we will cover any comments or items that this is supposed to be for agenda items only.
Jim and I, 16 Deer Run Highway. My son was the principal involved in this situation. He was suspended for 2 days as well. I know this is a good on record, but I want to be afforded the same resources that you're giving the school.
Okay, absolutely, sir. Thank
you. I assume you spoke to the building principal already?
Yes, we've been on for 3 years. People were on fire.
This particular incident, you did speak to the building principal. Have you spoken to the superintendent?
No.
All right, that would be the next person that you would speak to. Thank you.
You CC on the correspondence sent out.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Mark Frederick, Green Terrace, District 2. My question is, I see initially the educator was talking about the board vacancy. It was at 7:30 advertised on the website. The rationale, I guess, has been explained why it's been moved to 6:30 in executive session. Will Rennie be given reconsideration to bringing it back to 7:30 like it has been done in the past as the protocol has been going through the public to be able to see the respective candidates?
I've been on the board when we've met in executive sessions, and I've also been president of the board where we've done it in open session. And it is a decision that the Board of Education members vote on. And I think the explanation that was given by Mrs. Kofik about certain individuals might be somewhat reluctant to come to a public meeting and be questioned by the Board of Education leads me to believe that it would be appropriate at this point in time to do it in executive session.
So, having communications with them, being able to talk in front of the public part of being on the board, and you have to be able to feel comfortable to be in front of the board. I mean, you have to be able to present yourself. Communications, I'm asking for communications. You have to be able to present yourself to the board to members in a proper way. And I would think that, you know, you want to see that comfortable level being applied.
Any comments from board members?
It's a very valid point. If somebody's not comfortable standing in front of the crowd and answering specific questions, I think that would call a question if they're not comfortable sitting up here and answering questions. I think it's a valid point.
I just think, you know, it also creates, you know, creates more transparency, and you don't want to have a lack of transparency, that's for sure. In these days, you want to have transparency and let the taxpayers be here. You may get a big crowd that night, but the taxpayers are voters, and they may want to see prospective candidates who they may have to elect in the future. So I hope that you can give us some reconsideration and not set precedent, or go back to the way it was, and use the protocol of 7:30 as a starting time. I mean, last time in 2009, I believe, there was four candidates that were up here. So I understand there was not even no candidate. You said there was no candidates to date. So if there's no candidates to date, then why are we concerned about taking up a lot of time? Well, you may only have another four candidates. Last time the vacancy was filled, you had four candidates. That's not going to take up too much time. Yet the public gets to see the prospective qualified candidates. It's just a thought. I mean, behind closed doors in executive session, the public may see it as being non-transparent, and I think we want to be very transparent these days. I think that's something that should be thought of and considered by the board. Again, it was initially advertised at 7:30, and that's why I'm just trying to present a possibility that you can bring it back the way it was.
We will discuss it with the board and make a decision. But we will reconsider.
I think it's in the best interest of the community.
Thank you.
You know, if I could just make one comment, I think you make some really great points. The thing is, we're not looking for politicians for this job. I mean, there's a lot of people who in the past have expressed interest in this who are more quiet and more behind-the-scenes workers and contributors. And the position of board member is intended to be open to everybody.
Right.
I mean, no educational requirements.
Absolutely.
No, you know, it could be any person who is, you know, the minimum requirement of being able to read and write and register as a voter. So we really don't want to, intimidate anybody from coming forward. And we, like Jim said, we have done it both ways, and some of the feedback we've gotten is that, you know, it is a little bit brutal when, we've had meetings that were really well attended and a lot of people interested in the spot. And, I guess we're trying to be sensitive to people who might be interested in the position, but might be somebody who's in it just to make a contribution and not be a, public figure in a political type of way. So, I can see it both ways. And over the years that I've been on the board, we definitely have done it both ways. And I kind of feel for the people who are doing it in public. Because, yes, they do need to be able to speak a little bit in public, but it's not really a requirement of the job.
But I mean, you're a professional when you pepper them with questions. I mean, it's not like you're riddling them with bullets. You know, you're professional in your demeanor, I'm sure, when the questions are presented to the candidates. It's a professional back and forth. They're telling you about them. They're expressing, you know, what qualifications you have and why you have them in school, right? So it's not like no one should be intimidated, because we're all fine folks. I mean, it's not a problem here. It's just a matter of, letting the public see. Mm-hmm. They have that right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll move on to the committee reports. Our first committee is Facilities and Finance. Mark?
It was a pretty busy month. I'm going to go through all the items here quickly. Watch House, if all is going well, we should be heard tonight. We're on the agenda tonight in the Planning Board. That is for approval of the subdivision of the property across from the school here on this side of the street so that we can eventually transfer the property over to the organization to express interest in the museum. So assuming we're here tonight, I guess it'd be what, at least another month now before we hear from them? Is it a monthly meeting? So the best case is we'll know in a month if our subdivision has been approved. I don't think we anticipate any problems.
No, I think we'll hear tonight. I think there'll probably be an email tonight.
Make a decision tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're not on completeness. I don't think we're on for our rulings.
Okay. Well, that would be good. So hopefully by tomorrow morning we'll have some news. We had some discussion on the interlocal agreement with the town, specifically related to custodial costs that we were incurring because of certain programs occurring in the schools, particularly on weekends and evenings when we normally didn't have custodial staff here and we were being forced to do overtime. To handle that, I understand we reached some agreement with the township. In particular, the karate was the main issue, and I understand that will be either moved or rescheduled to some degree so we don't suffer the burden of custodial costs to deal with that. Other discussion regarding the barn on this property, which apparently is in dire need of some work. There was extensive discussion about who will do that work. Not over a decision there, but we'll have to have that work done. The cupola, is it? Is falling apart? I didn't actually know what a cupola was before that. Apparently, it's falling off our buildings. So it has to be taken care of. That is the white barn right here on the street. Paid to participate. I was informed by Pat that we had at least one family, there were probably more, that had called and expressed that they were not able to afford to send their kids to sports programs. We had anticipated this when we put this in place. Unfortunately, the bar to receive aid is rather high. Is that what they have to be on? Was it free or reduced lunches? Was that in the original program? It's not surprising there are families that don't qualify for that, but nonetheless are finding it difficult to pay for the sports programs. The suggestion was made that we would somehow try to raise this money outside by accepting public donations. But we don't have anything in place yet, right? You mentioned we made some progress there.
Well, we quantified what we expect the need to be for the remaining two sports seasons.
It's $2,500. So we don't have a solution yet. We'll have to put something in place. And, my feeling was that there would be members of the public who would probably be more than willing to write checks and put money in. So we'll be short $2,500 for this season. We'll have to put a process in place to raise that. Coming next year, we will probably have to make some changes to the pay-to-participate arrangement. Conceptually, I personally believe that parents will still should contribute. This year, we put it on a second question. And the problem there is we just lost total flexibility because once it went on the second question and failed, we can't go back to the budget at all. Even if we're only short $100, we can't go into the budget. And no doubt we could find $100, but we can't take it out legally. Next year, we will obviously not put it on a second question. I guess we'll have to decide between now and then exactly what percentage of this we want to fund from outside sources and whether some of it will in fact be funded from the budget. This year, nothing was funded from the budget. It's entirely funded by the parents. So that will be decided at budget season. Which brings us to the next question. Believe it or not, it is budget time again. It seems like it's always budget time. And, we have sent information out to the leadership team, and I guess they have a month to get back with preliminary budget items. So they've started. Last item was the fields across from the YMCA. We continue our discussion. I'm sorry, the fields across from the school here that the YMCA had originally approached us about building a facility on. We are still looking into trying to build fields on that land. And our administrators promised us an estimate, which or at least some rough figures of what it would take to build fields. Kevin, I understand you heard from their Greater Flemington club that they spent $440,000
to build
two
soccer fields, a gravel parking lot, and a detention basin.
Okay, so that gives us some rough figures. Of course, we don't know exactly how much excavation they did.
For them, it was $300,000 worth of excavation.
But we have no way of comparing the land they had versus ours.
Correct. some of the interesting discussions Pat Lenhart and I had today with our bond counsel was about going back to look at the original plans given to the DOE regarding this facility, and then the change orders that were done, or actually the total site plan changes based on the C-class stream and the void house, moving the whole project back, I do believe, 150 feet. And even on that plan, fields are shown, a baseball field and a soccer field. So Pat and I went out and walked the site today with Ursula Woolley and Mr. John Grebeck and looked at what we have and what it might take. And there's a possibility we're going to go back to the DOE and utilize hopefully that bond money to update the fields. Whether or not we can put them across the way, there are tentative plans that show fields on the other side of Grand Rock Road, but our bond counsel is saying that the interpretation by the DOE is very tight on how you're allowed to use that money has to be intended. So everything we have in the way of the write-up of the referendum had fields in it. So that's what we would like to at least apply for. The other part of that is how much of that is excavation. So we're going to try to reach out to school boards. I talked to at least four vendors that do this.
Okay.
And see if they'll come in and give us an estimate.
Okay. Any questions about any of those items?
Why don't we make a motion second and first, and then we'll move on to the questions and concerns.
Let me move the finance items, items 034 through 049. Let me call attention to item 049, which approves the next step in authorizing refinancing of our bond debt of approximately $26 million.
We have a motion. Can we have a second on that motion?
Second.
Second by Jody. I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead. You were talking about the refinancing.
Well, that was it. I was just calling attention to that item, number 49, the refinancing of our bond. I can believe you mentioned this last meeting.
Any other questions on any of the items for facilities and finance? Great.
A 43. Yes. Am I on the right thing here? What is SCIP, and that's 750 for what?
Skip training is training that we offer to our paraprofessionals, our teacher aides, and special education teachers to work with children who are in program that may need to be restrained. So this is a state-approved way that they may be able to ensure that there no harm is done to a child, to themselves, or to other children or staff members. And it's done every year.
That's done by one person?
This training is done by one person, yes.
At $750 a day?
Correct.
And and how many people does she train for?
We have 20 people.
Any other questions?
42. Didn't we approve this law firm already? I'm confused why.
We did, but when we went back, we did it at the reorg meeting, Mr. Shadle, but we realized that it didn't list the hourly rate, so we just thought to play it safe.
That hourly rate, has it changed?
No.
No? No, it hasn't.
There's no retainer on that.
No. This board does not use a retainer.
No, they don't get a flat fee. There's no retainer, Jane. It's just whenever they do work for the board, that's the rate they get paid. Any other questions? Ken?
Mark, you noted 49.
Bond refinancing, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Can we just overview what the point of that is?
Yeah, interest rates have fallen. At the time the school was built, we issued $32 million, I think, in municipal debt in the form of bonds. Our bond council has identified approximately $26 million worth of bonds that would be profitable to refinance due to lower market interest rates. I think the estimate was a maximum of about $1 million in savings over the life of the bonds, the next 15 to 20 years of those bonds. So basically, this is giving him permission to pull the trigger when it seems appropriate, which is probably now if things don't change.
Well, what happened was there were preliminary steps. We had to go in front of the local finance board, and we had to gather a lot of documentation. I've been working closely with them. Luckily, in the time that transpired, the situation still remains favorable. Sometimes you miss the boat.
Well, they were saying that this is timing-wise, this is the right time.
Right. Actually, they said it's even better now than when we began the conversation. On Thursday, I have a conference call with our auditor, Standards and Poor's, our bond refinance counsel, and myself.
I just thought it would be a good explanation. It was a good savings opportunity.
Yes.
Any other questions?
34, payment of bills.
For video technology.
That bill is for FM systems, which are used for our special ed students. However, the entire student population benefits from them, and it's being paid through IDEA ARRA funds. And that is just a few that were needed ASAP. We're out to bid for the remaining number of FM systems.
What are the FM systems?
They're kind of an in-classroom surround sound, but the teacher is mic'd, as well as other children can use the mic as part of discussion.